Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, when we switch on the TV these days, we can't help but notice the presidential campaign race that's taking place right now. A number of politicians are trying to capture their audience with a debate with carefully crafted sentences and messages so that they make themselves as attractive as possible for a seat in the White Office in 10 months' time. Now, looking at our text here in Matthew 4 that was just read, I'm almost inclined to think of Jesus Christ himself as being a candidate, someone who's running a campaign for an office and trying to win over as many people as possible in the short duration of his ministry. But I'm reluctant to see him in light of this because, unlike other politicians who are vying for a higher office, Christ has it already. He is not striving towards something that he does not already have. He is incumbent of the office of a prophet, preaching out loud to the people, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And moreover, this prophet who is doing all this preaching is also the Son of God. In the past few weeks during this holiday season, we heard this point being repeatedly made about Christ's birth, and then about his baptism still during this week. And today also we hear about his preaching activity, and every time this single message is being made. This person here is God. This man, Jesus Christ, is not just any prophet, not John the Baptist, but Son of God. He is one who is of the same essence as God the Father. God became man, but at the same time, this man is also God. How significant this is, we can see from his preaching ministry, because as soon as he calls repent, Jesus Christ can also point to himself, saying, "I am God and I am your salvation. I'm not just a candidate for a future position as a son of God. I am here already, and you may come to me and find salvation." For this reason, I also believe that Jesus Christ does not have to make his message as attractive as possible to his audience, as many of us would like to think of our ministry today, kind of non-confrontational. He is not to be judged, or is judging himself, by the standards of a popularity poll. No, his message is clearly, repent, turn away from your ways and believe in me, your Savior. There is thus in this message no alternative. It is either him or eternal darkness. But how do we really know that this prophet that does all this preaching here is Christ the Savior, that he is the Son of God? Fortunately, there are other texts in the Holy Bible that reflect this very point. Ours might not quite make it, but today's epistle text, Colossians 2 verse 3 to 10, sheds ample light on his true identity. There Jesus Christ is identified as the mystery of God, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then in verse 9, this passage continues, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." These words should really convince everyone who has doubts that Jesus Christ is not really the Christ, the Son of God. He is more than a prophet, more than a healer and a possessor of miraculous powers, more even than Hercules, who is endowed with divine strength but still inferior to God. And then as we look now at the beginnings of his ministry, we see him not sharing just irrelevant truths, but he's telling the truth itself, the mystery of God. And yet, unfortunately, there are many people today and then who continue to be puzzled over the true identity of Jesus Christ. People just don't seem to get it. And I'm thinking here particularly of the 10 lepers who came to Jesus Christ to be healed from their disease. And only one of these 10 comes back to Jesus Christ and thanks him for what he has done. That is 1/10, 10%, not really very much. And this problem continues today. And it is this very problem that people are reluctant to concede to Jesus Christ his full deity, that he is God. Martin Luther, in one of his sermons, illustrates this problem this way. God let down a ladder into this earth, and God himself climbed it down to become a child, a human being. God became man. But now Luther says we should also do the reverse. At the same time also applies, namely that this God who became man is God himself. In other words, to grasp that this child and prophet called Christ is God, we must, Luther would say, be willing to climb up the ladder as well, tracing the steps of a human Christ back to God. Unfortunately, no one can do this by his own reason or strength apart from faith. Let me illustrate this problem a little further. At Disneyland a few years back, I saw for the first time a three-dimensional movie. Now, without an extra pair of glasses, I could not see the third dimension of this movie, but it was just an ordinary film. But as soon as you put on these glasses, a whole new and fascinating world opened itself before me. It is this third dimension that we Christians have when we look at this prophet who's calling us to repentance. What we see is the third dimension, namely that this is the Son of God who preaches here, what others, because of a lack of faith, cannot see. And we ask today that the Holy Spirit may preserve us in this faith. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.